consequence of turning from God. In Judges 6, 1 through 10, "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Midianite, of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains and caves, and strongholds. And so it was when Israel had sown," now listen, "when Israel had sown," go back up a little bit, "God had delivered them into the hands of the Midianites. But they had sinned. They stepped away from God. They made a choice and they stepped away from God. When they had sown, that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them. And they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till thou come unto Gaza, and left no substance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for the multitude, for both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and I brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppress you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice." In verse 1, the Bible says that the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. In verse 10, the kicker is seen here, "But you've not obeyed my voice. You have been doing evil. You were disobedient. And then you worshiped idols." Not only had they strayed from God, but they had entered into the worship of Baal. When we stray from the Lord, it usually involves a downward spiral. See, people, when they stray from the Lord, they don't just stay in this one place. They go down. And that's what will happen in your life and in my life when we make a choice against God, when we choose not to follow Him, when we choose not to make Him King and Lord of our life. We have a tendency we don't stay in the same place, but we spiral downwardly. We could give lots of examples there, couldn't we? We could give lots of examples out of our own church where people have spiraled downwardly. They don't just stay in one spot. They go down. When you decided to slack off from church, you didn't really plan on your sons and your daughters living with people that they weren't married to. You didn't really plan on them getting on drugs and alcohol or in jail. You just trying to live out your disgruntlement with the way things were going in church, and you thought you'd make a statement that would get folks' attention. And it backfired, and it always backfires. It's always a great discouragement to the pastor of any church when he listens to the arrest report and he hears members of his own church on the arrest report. And it's just another one of those spirals that is taking place. In the book of Proverbs, the 24th chapter and verse 30, Proverbs says, I went by the field of the slothful, and it was all grown over with thorns. Needles covered the face thereof, and the stone wall was broken down. Do you know anyone's life that looks like that? Look with me at the book of Deuteronomy, and look at chapter 6. There is a principle behind the precept of staying with the stuff. Look at verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. I was interviewed a little while back by a church that was calling a pastor, and I was given as a reference. And the person who called me on the phone asked me this question: does he love the Lord with all of his heart and his mind and his soul? And I sat there, I'd have had a better answer if he'd asked me today. But I sat there for a little while and I said, I know he loves the Lord. You'll have to ask him about the other. And as I pondered that question after we had hung up the phone, I'm thinking, what does that really mean? To love the Lord with all your heart and your soul, your mind. I would have turned that around. Had I been talking today on the phone, I would have turned that around and said, do you? Do I? Here God is challenging us. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt, what's that next word? Teach. Teach. Now, I think that the Bible is so precise in what it tells us. Thou shall teach it when it's handy to your children. If you ever get an opportunity to get them all around the supper table at the same time, teach those principles to your children. If there's any time that there's not some kind of sporting event going on and you can spend some time with them, I heard a statistic the other day that said the average father spends less than 2 minutes a day with his children. Less than 2 minutes a day with his children. One-on-one. Talking to them one-on-one. Now, that verse of Scripture says if it's handy, you do that. If you can ever find the time, you can do that. You can tell your wife and you can tell your children, well, we're not doing this because of the society in which, and we are just so busy that we're unable to do it. Now, that was a whole lot of difference than that back there whenever they was writing that. Our society is different and everything. And so I know the Lord's going to give us a whole lot of slack. So just do it when it's handy. Is that right? Some of you are shaking your head like you don't believe what I'm preaching. Well, I'll tell you what that word says. Do you know what it says? You know what that next word is? Diligent. Diligent. Be diligent in teaching it to your children. Be diligent in teaching it. I'm telling you, it goes beyond anything that you and I can possibly teach our children. Did I do a great job at that? I did not do a great job at that. Am I the authority and I can tell you how to do it because I've done it? I'm not. But I know what it says. And I know what kind of danger we're putting our family in when we do not do that. We've got deadbeat dads that won't pay child support or take care of their own kids because mom and dad was too busy making a living to teach that deadbeat what he should be doing. Is it society's fault? Is it the church's fault? It's our fault. Because God has given us the instruction. Be diligent. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. So in all this life that we're in, and all these things, going or coming, we're to be teaching it. We're to be talking about the Lord, talking about what the Word of God actually teaches, talking about what the Word of God says. When we're in a car going somewhere, when we're sitting in the house, if we're walking by the way, if we're on vacation, if we're getting off work, if we're getting ready to go to work, we are teaching it unto our children. The Israelites were plagued by a roving band of bandits, the Midianites. You know, it's hard for God to get our attention when everything is going well. You know, there's so much about life that I don't understand. But I know that to be true. God's call came to Gideon at a time of humiliation and defeat. And in verse 12 of Judges 6, God had a word for Gideon, and he said, "The Lord's with you." And then he said, "You're a mighty man of valor. You can do it." "No, I can't do it." Gideon said, I can't do it. I'm get somebody else. I'm the least of my brethren. And my family's the poorest. I mean, anyone else could do." "No," God said, "you're the man." "And you're the man. You're the woman. You're the person that God has put in the life of your children. You're the person that God has placed with that responsibility that you have right now. You are the person. I've got my job, and then you've got your job." My grandkids have other grandparents. But you don't have but one popo. They got a pops, but they don't have but one popo. And God's called me to that task. My daughters have other people in their lives, but I'm their daddy. And when I get the telephone call that says, "Dad," I know they got the right number. can't somebody else. I wouldn't want someone else. Do you? You want somebody else to take your place there? Or you want to be the daddy? You want to be the grandfather that God has called you to be? You see, God sees you as victorious. God has a plan for you, and He has a plan for me. It's a good plan. And it's a victorious plan. But we can't be off over here in left field somewhere doing our own thing and expect God to work through us. He's going to allow some things in our life many times to bring us back to this place where we need to be. He has in my own life. One of the things that I believe that God has demonstrated His love for me over and over again is that He has exposed me to my sin. And I think He does that in people's lives. That you don't sin and get away with it. Let's stand together. That introduction that you and I are going to talk about tonight has to do with the sin that does so easily beset you, your personal sin, and God's answer for that, God's victory in that. If you're here today and do not know Christ as your Savior, I want to be very personal with you if I can. Would you accept Him today as your Savior? Would you invite Him to come into your heart and be your Savior today? Now let me tell you how you do that. You step out from where you're at, come to where I'm at, and tell me I want to be saved. Now you know I can't save you, but I know a man who can, and that's Jesus. And if you will humble yourself before Him and ask Him into your heart, the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you could be saved today. Maybe there's another need in your life today. Maybe the Lord's dealing with your heart about something that you've not surrendered to Him. And you need to do that today. Maybe it's a recommitment in your life. Maybe God's dealing with your heart to come and become a part of this fellowship, either by following the Lord in believer's baptism or moving your letter here from another fellowship. Whatever God's will is in your life, we want to give you an opportunity to make that decision for Christ today. So Brother Matt's going to lead us, and then the decision is yours. It's on your shoulder. What will you do with the Lord? As we sing, you come.